Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Friday, November 21st, 2014. And with me today, I have two incredibly beautiful people. No kidding. I look at their photos all the time. Brian Chaffin, how are you?
Dude, you're just getting weird in your old age. You dotage.
Get off my lawn. And that laugh, Kelly Gumond. How are you, Kelly?
I'm good. I'm currently standing on Brian's lawn. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I think
you're welcome to be on my lawn, by the way.
That's so sweet. Oh,
I'll turn it up and see if that changes your opinion any.
I think that my problem is that I've just been a little wound up too tight this week with technology problems, and it's coming out in probably unhealthy and unproductive ways.
All right. Well, before we go too far down that rabbit hole, why don't we
knock out a show?
You're just worried I'm going to start saying things that make you uncomfortable.
Uh-huh. Well, or readers, listeners.
Right. Yes. Hey, okay. So then how about we talk some about this settlement that Google has reached in the patent infringement case with Rockstar Consortium, which does include Apple as one of the backers, also Microsoft and Sony, BlackBerry, Ericsson, a couple other companies, I believe. So looking at this, we don't know what the terms of the deal are yet. We'll be learning that come December, or more accurately, the deal will be finalized in December, and we may get to learn more details about this. So the thing that we have right now isn't so much about the deal itself, but what this potentially means for Apple and Rockstar as a whole.
Now, we need to probably stop for just a second and point out that this is not a company that makes video games. This is something else altogether. They also don't make energy drinks. This is a third variety of something that is commonly referred to as Rockstar. So do we maybe want to walk through that a little bit first? This isn't like Grand Theft Auto or something, you know, trying to buy patents.
So that's a good
maybe
point.
Maybe clear that up.
Okay, so Rockstar Consortium, it's a company it's a patent holding company. That's what they do. And this company exists because several other companies, which includes Apple and Microsoft, ponied up a bunch of money to make this company happen. And then Rockstar Consortium went out and bid on Nortel's patent portfolio. So it's like 4,000 patents. Mm-hmm. And Google was bidding on this patent portfolio as well. And this was seen as a potentially very important patent portfolio because it addressed a lot of technologies that were being used in the mobile space.
Right. And this way, all of these companies would all be able to use these patents and not have to worry about infringing because they're a part owner of the patent.
Right. And any company that isn't in the consortium is a potential target. So Google lost their bid.
Google was actually invited to be part of Rockstar, as I understood it.
And passed was what I decided they'd rather strike out on their own.
At the time, it was kind of seen as everybody gang up on Google because of Android Move. And that's certainly what it turned into.
Yes, it did. And, well, I mean, obviously, because after Rockstar outbid Google for the patents, they turned around and sued Google for infringement.
Rockstar was largely seen as a proxy for Apple, but the reality is that we don't know how much control Apple exerted over Rockstar. It had its own board. It had its own independent CEO. It had its own staff. Mm-hmm. The interesting thing for people, especially that had defended Apple for both the copying that Android and then Samsung did on iOS, especially in the early years of the platform, the mobile platform wars, And then at the same time also defended Apple from suits by patent trolls. Rockstar kind of took us into some uncomfortable territory because Rockstar was and is a patent troll. They're a non-practicing entity that owns patents for the sole purpose of
owning patents.
Owning patents and monetizing them. Well, I don't know, going after companies that are violating those patents, so monetizing those patents. And so that was that kind of to me that put Apple clear like squarely in the patent troll camp, at least by proxy.
Sure. Yeah. And as well as Microsoft and Sony and BlackBerry, since they were all investors in the company as well. But that's a really good point, Brian. We don't know how much control Apple had over Rockstar. And we don't know how deeply involved Apple was or is with that patent holding company. We just know that they threw a lot of money that direction, which let them buy into to patent licensing.
And at the same time, this settlement we still don't know the terms of the settlement, as you already noted. The settlement is already being heralded does this mean that Apple is ending its patent war against Android? It may, but it doesn't necessarily mean that because, again, we don't know how much direct control Apple has in the first place.
Right.
True. Yeah, and we also don't know if this means that Rockstar is trying to push forward and end its litigation so that it can sell off some patents. There was a report earlier this year that Rockstar...
Yeah, it was actually December 2013.
Okay, so nearly a year ago that Rockstar was looking at selling off part of its patent portfolio. And on one hand, that looks like it goes against what Rockstar is supposed to do, but on the other hand, it totally fits with their mission, which is to find ways to generate money off of those patents that they hold.
Yeah, when Rockstar the trove of patents that was being bid on included all kinds of things that may or may not matter to any of the players that own the company.
Sure, and so if they don't see any value in having those patents directly.
Or more specifically, if they see more value in selling them.
Yes, there you go. And yeah, so it could be that they just need to get some of their ducks in a row so that they can make some other patent sale deals come together.
Yeah. Yeah, so I guess the takeaway is don't read too much into this yet. Mm-hmm. This may indicate that Apple, I mean, and the reality is that Apple hasn't launched any new patent litigation against Android players in, I don't know, 9 months? Six to 12, somewhere in the 6 to 12 month range.
Yeah, it's been a little while.
So, you know, this could well mean that Apple is wanting to end the patent litigation. But it doesn't necessarily mean that. So don't read too much into it yet. Hopefully some terms of the deal will emerge somewhere, be it from a regulatory filing or even from a direct announcement. Time will tell.
Yeah, there's more to this story. We know that there's more. We just don't have any of that story yet.
Yeah, we're waiting for the next sequel in this series to come out.
Yeah, exactly. This is definitely a Donald Rumsfeldian moment. Things we know, things we don't know, and things that we don't know.
The unknown unknowns. Yes.
Yeah. Hey, another thing I wanted to take a look at today is a piece that you wrote yesterday, Brian. And this is about a report that Apple is looking at dropping the price substantially for Beats Music subscriptions. And that in and of itself, for many people, is probably a pretty intriguing story. But you said something that I found really fascinating, and to me that's more of the story than the fact that they're looking at dropping the price from $10 a month to $5 a month, and this is that Apple is doing exactly the same thing that other companies have been accused of, which is
that I've accused other companies.
That's the same thing.
Well, yeah, lots of people have. I mean, you're not alone in that.
Yeah. So Brian, if you make the accusation, that's as good as a lot of people make.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, it is all about me. But yeah, I'm generally speaking ever watchful about the race to the bottom, because when you have a race to the bottom, quality goes out the window. I happen to like quality. This applies to hardware. This applies to software. This applies to music, to movies, to TV shows, to books. It applies to everything. When you have a race to the bottom, when competition is being driven solely by price, quality and experience where that matters always goes out the window. It must go out the window. It cannot do anything but go out the window. And Apple has, generally speaking, in the computer world, in the technology world, in the mobile space, Apple has been the one company that did not engage in a race to the bottom. And that has been the case since Steve Jobs came back in 1997. And it remains the case now. But it did occur to me that going from cutting the price of an all-you-can-eat music buffet from $10 a month to $5 a month is just massively lowering the perceived value of that product.
Yes.
And that, by definition, that means that Apple is looking to engage in this race to the bottom.
It's
weird.
Yeah, it also sends a psychological message, which is you've been overpaying for your Beats Music subscription. It's really not worth $10.
Well, you've been paying for every music subscription.
All of them are between 8 and 10, I think.
Now, mind you, okay, this is important. It's not that I don't want to pay less for anything, because I do. I happen to enjoy money.
Having a bank balance.
Yes, I do. My concern is when cheaper threatens quality. And there's always a trade-off there, of course. There are some times where you do cheaper is cheaper with less quality is in fact acceptable, because you didn't need, want, appreciate, or care for, or whatever, that extra quality. And this is entirely subjective for every single person, you know, where those lines are. There, you know, Walmart sells 10 socks for a dollar. That's, I don't know if that's actually even true anymore, but that's the standard line. But there are a crap ton of people that will buy those socks, mm-hmm. despite the fact that they, you know, they're completely worthless. I mean, they're not even worth a dollar, in my opinion. So, I mean, but the point is that this is a subjective thing, and my guess is that if Apple is truly looking at this as the way to go, that $5 is the sweet spot to get everybody on the planet involved in music streaming, that they think that the overall pie will be the end pie will be a lot larger than the current pie, and that that's good for the music industry. But that's the same argument that that Amazon was making for in its battle with Hachette. And that's, you know, an argument that I ranted and raved about.
That's true, you did.
And I still am tense about that.
Yeah, I'm concerned about what will happen to the value to end users at the lower price point, because that means that there's not as much money going back to the record labels, which means there's less likelihood that the record labels will be happy having their music playing on that service.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing, and And I doubt very many people, very many of us care about the labels per se. But what you should care about is the role that labels have in bringing quality music to market. It's a, right. You know, and this is the thing we talked a lot about with books. And I think it's a slightly different equation when it comes to music. But, you know, the Apple is concerned about, supposedly Apple is concerned about the health of the labels and what that means for artists, getting artists paid, making it so that artists can actually make a living from producing music. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I don't know.
So, Brian, you wrote a piece earlier this year. You wrote back in June. You did a head-to-head comparison of 14 streaming services. So I just pulled that up.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of $10 a month. Google Play is $10. Spotify is $10. Beats is $10. The outlier at this moment is iTunes Radio is either free or $25 a year. Because you remove the ads by being an iTunes Match user. There's a few that are at $5 or free. I think
there are always limitations with that.
Yeah, Pandora, to pay for Pandora is $5 a month. Music Unlimited from Sony is $5 a month. But the thing is, and perhaps this is just a perception on my part, but whenever I've looked for a song on Spotify, I have a free account. And whenever I've looked for a song on Spotify, I've usually been able to find it. And when I've looked in other places or talked to other people who have other services, they can't. And one of the things that you sort of get with something like Spotify is a little bit more control over the stuff that you're actually listening to. With Pandora, you kind of pick a song or an artist and you have to tailor to that. And I don't like that as much.
It's the difference between stations and you know, choosing what you want to listen to from a big catalog.
Right. And I wonder if for me, the thing that makes me nervous about the drop from $10 a month, which is what Beats is now, to $5 a month, is how much stuff is going to be on Beats. You know, that was always a thing about...
Apple wouldn't do this unless they could get everybody on board. I mean, there's no Beats music app that's default in iOS, even though Apple has owned them for 6 months before iOS 8 came out.
Right. And the thing that I'm wondering about isn't today. I would assume that whatever Apple does with the Apple version of, you know, Apple flavored Beats is going to end up being basically everything that's in the iTunes store right now you can get on Beats. And that makes sense. But going forward, I wonder how people are going to, you know, is there going to be a deal where Taylor Swift sells her new album on iTunes, but you can't stream it through Beats Music? Or is somebody going to forsake iTunes altogether and only put it out in other places? You know, you can only get the new Lady Gaga album on Amazon MP3. You can't get it on iTunes because if you can put it on iTunes, you can stream it on Beats, and they don't want to do that. And, you know, and it's going to be because of the record label cut. It's not going to be – this is the reason that I find this kind of stuff infuriating. An artist may find this a good deal. I'm sure part of it is unrepeatable because it was Dave Grohl, but Dave Grohl had a quote about how it was kind of okay with him that people listened to his music and didn't pay for it, because if people listen to it and really like it, there's a good chance they'll come to a show. And
yeah, that's
really
part
wants
of the
to
whole,
do is rock people's faces off.
That's so, part of the whole switch back to this model where bands make money from playing rather than music sales, which is mm-hmm. where we were in the 50s and early 60s.
Until all the distribution went in-house, which is...
And the Beatles actually really turned that around. But
yeah. The thing that I'm worried about is what happens going forward, because it's never the label standing up and going, you're not paying our artist enough money. It's people at the label saying, you're not paying me enough money. And so there may be artists who are completely cool with this, and maybe the label isn't, and then the label ends up being the hurdle, because labels tend to be all of the folks who defected to the music side of a multinational conglomerate from the movie side of the multinational conglomerate, and none of those people have learned a lesson yet about Napster and what it has done to music. And so I really want for this to go well for artists. Because if it goes well for artists, it's going to go well for me. I like some independent music that is out there, and I really like that I get the opportunity to listen to it a lot of different ways. And I don't want this to end up being a thing where some of the less independent stuff that I like, or maybe the less popular, you know, major label but less popular, like Matt Good is an example I use all the time because most people haven't heard of him, but he's amazing, but he's on a major label. He's a Canadian artist out of Vancouver. He writes amazing songs. You guys should totally go check him out. And, if his label doesn't decide that it's worth having him on Beats Music, now I can't listen to it that way. And that's the thing that I'm concerned about.
All right. So where we're at now is, we are all legitimately concerned about the future of Beats Music, at least as far as it relates to our listening habits, and what this means for artists. And now what we know right now is that Apple is apparently looking at doing this. And if they can get the deals in place with the record labels, then they probably will. If not, I'm assuming Beats stays at $10 a month. And so for now, we're just kind of stuck wondering what's going to happen to our music and what's going to happen to the artists that are making it. And we are out of time. So we need to wrap up. Kelly, thank you for joining me today.
Of course.
And Brian, thank you for joining me as well. It's always great having both of you here.
And, thanks for having us.
Well, sure. And everyone have a wonderful weekend.
See you later.